Morning, everybody. Go ahead, grab a seat. Oh, I love you, Austin. I don't know about that necklace, though. I think it would look good on me, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Hey, would you join me in prayer as we jump into the Word? Father in heaven, your presence is here, Lord, and you're speaking. Lord, you're doing a work in each person's heart. Lord, and every time you speak, our life tremors, our inner man shakes. Lord, your voice causes our life to come into alignment with your purposes, and chains fall away. And Lord, the things that have held us and gripped us, the sins that so easily entangles, Lord, those things just fall away when we hear your voice. So Holy Spirit, would you speak this morning to each person? Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord, as to articulate the stuff that you've put on my heart to share, and Lord, that in the midst of it, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each person. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you are doing that, and declare over this time revelation in Jesus and wisdom to live our lives according to his ways. We thank you for this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Come on. Good morning to you. Happy Merry Christmas. Want to, just real quickly before we get rolling here, just wish you guys truly a Merry Christmas from Nicole and I, from our family. Want you to know that we see it as an absolute privilege, the opportunity to get to walk with you guys. Even through rough seasons, we count it an absolute privilege to get an opportunity to pastor and to walk with you through it. And we want you to know that we pray for you. We love you. And praying for your families, declaring his loving kindness would be expressed in fresh ways over your homes, declaring that you'd encounter the Lord. We're praying for your marriages, for your kids, that you would know his ways, and that your life would be blessed because of it. So before we even jump into anything else, just truly from our hearts, Merry Christmas. We love you. We're in it with you and excited for the journey. Amen. Yeah. All right. So before we get rolling here, I am going to warn you, this is the weirdest Christmas message that you may have ever heard. How many were in first service? Yeah, there's a bunch of us. It was weird, right? We're good, though. Look at your neighbor and go, trust me, you're here for a purpose. God is in this. I was having my quiet time this week, and the Holy Spirit speaking to me, you know, like many of us, you're meeting with the Lord. Can I tell you that the greatest privilege of a believer's life, but also I believe the greatest priority of a believer's life, is to seek the face of the Lord each day. If you seek his face, if you connect with the Father, if you connect with the Lord each day, he will make your path straight. When you hear his voice, it changes everything. Every time you encounter him, listen, if you're having a rough day, if you're struggling with temptation, it doesn't matter what it is that you're going through, if you will stop and go and meet with the Lord, I am telling you, as soon as you hear his voice, everything will change. Your perspective will shift. If there was something that was a weapon of the enemy that was coming against you, you'll be delivered of it. As soon as you hear his voice, your insides will pop into alignment with his purposes. It is the greatest privilege of the believer to get to meet with the Lord anytime you want. He said he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. So every day when you get up and you spend a little bit of time with him, you just seek him, hear his voice. Don't read the Bible for an education. Read the Bible to encounter God. When you worship, you come to church, don't come for, you know, a good pep talk or nice music. Come to encounter God. If you'll set your face to encounter him, he said that if you'll seek him with all your heart, he will meet you. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. The solution, the very thing that you're needing most, is just to hear his voice. Because as soon as you do, He creates a new way. He speaks and your conscience gets cleansed. He speaks and mercy gets released. Deliverance happens. Everything you need is found in his presence. Amen? Come on. So I was having a quiet time this week and, just my normal process and connecting with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I was praying for you guys as a congregation, just saying, Lord, what is it, leading into Christmas, what is it that you're saying to people? What gift could be imparted? What is it that, because it's really my heart to get in the presence of the Lord and get something from him for you. As I did that, the Holy Spirit spoke a phrase. It was a very clear statement, and I'm going to read it to you right now. He said this, my people need mercy. And it came with this following statement, though. He said, many have entered into judgment, and as a result are experiencing torment. My people need mercy. Now, like I said before, every time you hear the Lord's voice, mercy gets extended. Every time you encounter the Lord, he speaks and chains fall away. The devil's schemes can't cling to you when you're encountering God. When you encounter God, truth happens, reality happens, revelation, it causes you to connect with Jesus. And the process of when the Lord speaks to you and he reveals something, he opens the word so you understand it, that process of revelation is the gateway to a gift of repentance. When the Lord speaks to you, he reveals something. And when he reveals something, it gives you the opportunity to change your mind about something that you previously believed. The word repentance literally means to change one's mind. So if you find yourself with a defiled conscience, if you find yourself struggling with something, really, truly, if you will seek the Lord and just hear his voice. Some people seek God for direction. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you need to make a decision, so you're asking God the question, Lord, what should I do? There's nothing wrong with that, but let me maybe tweak it just a little bit. Instead of trying to pursue him for the answer to your question, just pursue him. Because when he speaks, the answer to your question is somewhere in it. But sometimes we're so fixated on getting an answer to something specific that we can't hear what he's actually saying. Are you alive? So that process of pursuit, something changes in us, and the gift of repentance comes with encountering him, and mercy is released, and everything changes. And so that's the pursuit this morning. The invitation is to us as a congregation this morning to tune our ear in. Hear what he is saying to you. Don't harden your heart. It may not be the question you're asking, but I'm telling you, if you'll hear his voice this morning, everything will change. Amen? Would you do me a favor? We're just going to pray again real quick. Just put a hand on your own heart. We're just inviting the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you speak to me this morning? Just pray that to him. Lord, speak to me today. Lord, speak. Your children are listening. Thank you, Father. So that the Lord spoke those words to me. My people need mercy. And so we're going to talk about mercy, but it's in a context. Because the statement that followed that was, some have entered into judgment and as a result, torment. And we're going to unpack that statement this morning. You know, the scripture says this, that his mercies are new every morning. That every day you can get up, and if you'll seek him, if you'll hear his voice, boom, mercy is new. You get a fresh start. It comes, though, by seeking his face. It's not arbitrary. The mercy of the Lord is new every morning. It's available. As surely as the sun rises, his mercies are new every morning. But it's not just this general mercy. It is literally to those who will call upon his name. And so the invitation is call upon his name because he'll meet you there. Jesus said these words, okay? He said, this is Matthew 5, verse 7. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed, that word can be interpreted as extremely happy. Like, yee-hoo! Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Mercy begets mercy. It's cyclical. You forgive people, you'll be forgiven. You release mercy over people, mercy returns. Turns out that nobody's perfect. Anybody perfect? Nobody? Turns out that we needed a Savior. Turns out that the reason that Jesus came, the reason for the season, is because we needed a Redeemer. And His mercies are available, but it requires connection with Him. He's the mercy giver. So connecting with Him means it's available to you. Connection with religion won't help you. Connection with the Bible won't help you. Connection with people won't help you obtain mercy. Mercy happens in the encounter with the living God. And it's here for us today. Are you alive? Come on now. Over the past several months, I've noticed some things, and maybe you've noticed them too. Our culture right now is crying out for justice. People are crying out for justice. Can I tell you, this is God. It's God. Peoples everywhere are crying out for justice, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our culture. Now, it's being processed in people that don't know the Lord's ways yet. And so the pursuit for justice, crying out for justice, crying out for, come on, somebody make this thing right, the way that it's coming out of people isn't always healthy. It's not clean. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it comes out in painful ways where people are expressing in it, they're from and processing from their place of pain. And so it doesn't come out sterilized and perfect and exactly the way they should do it. Have you noticed this? Culture crying out for justice, but it doesn't always come out, you know, maybe as perfect as it should. In that pursuit, the Holy Spirit is stirring humanity right now. He's awakening humanity. You can recognize the Lord in that. The devil doesn't want justice. Demons don't want justice. They don't. They don't want justice. The devil isn't pursuing justice. So when you see people crying out for it, this is the Holy Spirit in them. They don't always process it in a healthy way. And this is where the church of Jesus Christ has a role, because it's our job to disciple the nations into the ways of God. Can I get a witness up in here? Listen, I can't see your faces, okay? So you're either going to have to give me eyebrows, or you're going to have to give me some church hands, all right? An amen. You got to give me something, all right? Listen, I preach a lot longer in duration when I don't get response. Yeah. Packers played yesterday, all right? They already won. I don't got a game to get to. The problem with the pursuit of justice, and this is what happens, this is the perversion that takes place in hearts, that if the ways of the Lord haven't been clear to you, it's really easy to fall into a trap, okay? And this is the trap. When you are pursuing justice, you want to see justice, it is so easy to let your heart shift from the pursuit of heavenly justice to standing in judgment yourself, where you go, I'm pursuing justice, therefore what it means is that situation is wrong. Those people are doing it wrong. That person is in sin, and you feel justified in standing in judgment over the areas of life that need justice. But this is the issue. Judgment begets judgment and produces torment in believers. What is happening right now in culture is we are seeing the cry for justice, but not really knowing how to process that. So it's awakening in people, but we don't know how to get at it. Christians who follow Jesus have been given very clear instructions in how we are supposed to process justice. Jesus Christ came as a baby, but he grew in stature, in favor with man and with God. And as he entered into his ministry, he began to proclaim the gift of God that was available to man. And it's found in John 3:16 and 17. Let me read it for you. I'm jumping all over my notes, so I'm having to find them. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus Christ came, was born, lived his life in righteousness, and he executed the justice of heaven in his ministry. He did that by reconciling sinners to God, by not counting their trespasses against them. That means in his earthly ministry, he refused to judge people. He was living in a culture that had been subdued by Rome, which was, I mean, they were being violated all over the place in politics. Everywhere they turned, there was injustice. Yet you don't see Christ railing against the system. Now, I'm going to get in your stuff today. Think of it, okay? Think of it as my Christmas gift to you. Okay? My Christmas gift to us today is that you would experience joy and peace, that you would experience freedom from all forms of torment, that you might have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That was my one appeal to a Christmas message right there. That was it. It's the reason for the season, though. Okay? It's the reason for the season. So here's the deal. When I start seeing, okay, as a pastor now, when I start seeing Christians come into torment, it means something is wrong. Because Christians have authority over diseases, have authority over the works of the devil. Christians have no reason to fear, should not ever experience anxiety, should have perfect and awesome sleep because the Lord gifts his godly ones with perfect rest. You should not experience fear in any kind, fear of disease, fear of people, fear of poverty. None of these things are from God. The reality is that in Christ Jesus, you are perfectly kept in peace and in deliverance. And his power is towards you, that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead should be working in you, and you should be delivering other people. So when a believer, a person who follows Jesus, starts to experience torment, okay, let me ask the question. Ready? Here you go. Little inventory time. Ready? How's your sleep? Nightmares? Anxiety? How many in here have experienced, you don't have to raise your hand, okay? Actually, you can do this if you want to do, like, or lift your eyebrows, do something, you know, but I'm not asking you to call yourself out here, okay? How many have experienced an increased level of anxiety in this season? How many have experienced waves of fear? How many have been brought to the edge of actual panic attacks? You know how many conversations I've had with believers in the last several months who are wrestling with these things? What we need is the mercy of God. The reason Jesus came was to deliver you out of those things. And once you've been delivered out of those things, you never have to be subject to them again. So when they start happening, you know something is off. It should be a signal. Ready? Ding, ding, ding. Sound the alarm. Something's wrong. The problem is that as believers, we sometimes don't know how to figure it out. And so this is what we're talking about today. I'm going to walk us through a conversation. We're going to look at the words of Jesus. It's very clear. And by the end of it, you should be able to recognize why that's happening. And then by the end of it, we're going to pray together and I'm going to give you a tool so that you never have to go through this again. So if you experience it, you just do this tool, okay? And boom, you'll be out of it. Amen? Okay, can I get a witness up in here? All right. This is Matthew chapter 7. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1. I'm going to put it up on the screen, but you're welcome to read it in your own Bible, all right? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Here we go. Buckle up, buttercup. It's going to be great. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. This verse is not open to interpretation. There are some that we get away with. We can sort of rationalize our, you know, behavior by going, I don't really understand this. This one you can't. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under feet and then tear you to pieces. Anybody have a Thanksgiving like this? Get around family, bring up religion and politics. Next thing you know, you are presenting your truth and it feels judgmental, and then people are fighting and backbiting. Don't be surprised if you get bitten when you're standing in judgment over someone else's opinion. It's what happens. And Jesus told you so. Do not judge so you won't be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. Your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Personally, okay, speaking on my behalf, it is not fun to be judged by somebody else. They don't know what I'm going through. Listen, from the outside, it may feel obvious to all, but you have no idea what a person's going through. None. You're not in their shoes. You have no idea their relationships. You have no idea the construct of their heart and what it is that's processing on the inside of you. As clear as it may seem to you, you have no clue the pain that they're in. None. But you know who does? The Holy Spirit searches hearts. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on in somebody. That was the most Minnesotan "oh yeah" I've ever heard. Oh yeah, don't you know? It was awesome. Who did that? That was perfect. Ah, come on, Bart. We love you. Woo. Listen. No matter how qualified you feel to judge somebody's situation, you really don't know what's going on in them. And when you get judged by somebody else, it's a terrible experience. It feels bad to all parties involved. When you stand in judgment over somebody, you have separated yourself from relationship. you're not going to be friends with that person anymore. You have ended this connection. And it was through your judgment. When you get judged, it's a terrible experience because you feel bad. Like, who are you to judge me? You feel like you need to defend yourself. And this is what ends up happening, right? You judge somebody, and then they return what? They judge you. They go, who are you to say such a thing? Well, look at your life. And then they begin to examine your life. And they go, wait a second. The very thing you're judging me for is the very thing in your life. Who are you? And what do we got now? We got the end of a relationship and we have some backbiting going on. It's exactly what Jesus said it would be. And it's painful for everybody. Can I tell you, this little statement right here, there's far more revelation here. The scriptures say that Jesus is seated in heaven. He rose from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That in the end, that he'll sit on the great white throne judgment seat. That there is a day when he'll come again. And when he comes again, he comes as the judge. But until then, he's committed to us a ministry of reconciliation, which is not counting people's trespasses against them. We have a job to do as the body of Christ. How we pursue justice looks different than the call for judgment. In heaven, it says, the scriptures talk about this picture in heaven, and what they see is that Jesus has a name written on his thigh, and that the Father gave him this name, and that no man knows what name that is. It is the name for the judge. And no one knows the name of the judge because no man has authority to call upon the name of the Lord for judgment during this part of history. Judgment will come, my friends. It will. But until then, when you enter into judgment over someone, you are usurping the very role of Christ. And illegally calling upon the name of judgment before it's been revealed. It is not your role to judge people. And when you enter into judgment, what it means is that you're refusing to give mercy. And the scriptures are so clear about this, that if you refuse to give mercy, the result is torment. So let me ask you again, got any anxieties? How about some fear? How about some pain? You know, anybody struggle with a sin issue that you thought was conquered, but recently you find this thing jumping back up and you're like, what the heck's going on in me? I thought I had this thing dealt with. These are all signs of torment. They're not of the Lord. It's demonic, but there's a reason why a believer would be experiencing torment. And that reason is that you are refusing to give mercy, and instead you are judging. And so today, our job is to help us move out of judgment and into mercy so that you can be delivered from torment. Judgment is cyclical. Mercy is cyclical. You sow mercy, you receive mercy. Judgment is cyclical. You sow judgment, you get judged. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log that is in your own eye? It's a great picture, isn't it? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? Behold, there's a log in your eye. I imagine this when I see people, when they're like, you did that wrong, right? They judge you. And like I see them just in my imagination with like a 2x4 sticking out of their head. The clue to the interpretation of this scripture, to clearly see it, is that the word speck is the word sliver. It can be interpreted sliver of the same log. In other words, it is the same material. You're trying to point out the speck of what's wrong in someone's life, and you have the exact same issue going on in your life. Okay, now, this is where I could beat you up, cut you. We're not going to do that. It's Christmas. Instead, we're going to point out the amazing tool that Jesus gave us, which is this. How do you know what's going on in your own heart? How do you know what thing the Holy Spirit's bringing conviction to you about? See, when you find yourself rising up in judgment over somebody, it's probably because the Holy Spirit has been teaching you about that thing. And then you begin to see it in others. But what he is doing, he's not trying to get you to fix other people. He's trying to tell you that you have a 2x4 sticking out of your head. The thing you are seeing wrong with other people, the Lord has given you this tool. If you enter into judgment, the reason you feel judgmental is because he's convicting you of the same thing. If this last season got you all bent out of shape, the political season got you bent out of shape, the cry for justice has turned into judgment over those who do wrong. We find yourself, you're mad at a political system, you're mad at a party, you're mad at people, you're mad at election judges, you're mad at the news, you're mad at the media. Everybody's wrong. What could the Holy Spirit possibly be trying to tell you? It's a mirror showing you what's going on in your own heart. The Psalms say, Selah, which is to sit, ponder. Let me think about that for a moment. Selah, sit, ponder that for a moment. Where have you felt justified to stand over someone and say they're wrong? Where have you felt justified to cry out for justice in a situation because it's wrong? Where have you felt justified to be angry, to stand in judgment over somebody? The Holy Spirit is illuminating to you the very thing that's going on in your own heart. Why? Because he wants to show mercy to you. He's revealing it to you so that you can get free of it. He's expressing to you, he's helping you see what's actually going on in your heart. It's coming out of your mouth. That's what's going on in your heart. Your mouth is revealing it. So if you get around your spouse and they're spewing junk because they're mad about something, what it is conviction about what God is trying to fix and bring healing and mercy to in their own life. If you find yourself spewing, what it is your heart telling you what's going on in there. Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. It's really easy, and especially in this last season, my goodness, so painful to watch as we got swept away with the media and the railing against parties and the railing against people and all the negativity and then the fear that got stirred up from Corona and the pain of loss that many people have experienced. But at the same time, that political thing, we feel justified in saying, no, it's not true. Who can you trust? And you feel justified in your judgments. Rooted into this situation, like, you can't tell me what to do. Don't you tell me, pastor, to wear a mask. What's going on in your heart? As I'm watching people throw their masks on, I'm not mad at you, okay? Listen. Settle down. Back. That ain't what's going on here. It's not a lecture on mask wearing. What it is the Lord offering the body of Christ fresh mercy, because in this last season, it's not your fault, man. There was such a swirl in the spirit. People were getting swept away with junk, got influenced. You got duped. You really did. You got duped. And if you can see it and acknowledge it, the Lord will pull the plank out of your eye. And then what takes place is this. It's so powerful. It's so wonderful. Look at this statement. Verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. First of all, the word hypocrite, we use that as like a cuss word. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. But the scriptures, what they're talking about, the word hypocrite literally means actor. It's Hollywood. Okay? It's to be an actor. It's to pretend. It's this, okay? When you do that, you're pretending to be the judge, and you ain't one. When you do that, you're acting. You're not being true to yourself. You're pretending to have it all figured out. You don't have it figured out. And the reason why you see it in someone else is because it's in you. That's why you see it. And but by the grace of God, His mercy is the one who delivers us from these things ourselves. Come on, can you look at any area of your life where you've gotten free and you feel peace in? Was it you or was it Jesus? It was His divine mercy that helped you. You know what? Who are going to be used so powerfully in this season? I think are the Teen Challenge graduates and the people that have gotten free from crap, man. I mean, they were in it and they were captive to it, and the Lord brought them out of it. Those are the guys and gals that are going to be used powerfully in this next move of God. And the reason is this, because when you are forgiven and you are receive much mercy, suddenly you have compassion for people that are going through it. You're the great surgeons. The Lord delivered you of that thing. So you're going to come alongside people that are struggling, and you're going to help deliver them. The Lord took the plank out of your eye, and so now you are the person who has the privilege to come alongside somebody else and help them walk through and receive mercy for themselves. When you go through something and then you see somebody else going through it, you have empathy for them, not judgment. In fact, the only reason you would stand in judgment is because you have not yet become mature in that area. You really are lacking. You don't understand because you haven't walked through deliverance yourself yet. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you and reveal to you what's really going on in your heart, that you might be free of it yourself, so that you can walk alongside people and actually help them. Or you can just like throw your pearls before people, you know, those things that are like truth, and you can throw them at it and then get back bitten. You can end up in this judgmental cycle. It's no fun for anybody, but you know, hey, it's the American way. Come on, guys. Can I tell you something? Can I ask you something? In all seriousness, if the world can't find mercy at the church, and Christians can't find mercy with other Christians, what the heck are we doing? What are you doing? If you can't be empathetic to people that are walking through stuff, what the heck are you doing? Christ follower, I don't think so. I don't think so. Judgment begets judgment. Empathy and compassion and kindness and mercy, these are the things the Holy Spirit produces in a life that has received forgiveness. You got revelation. The Holy Spirit spoke to you and he helped you out of it. Freely you have received, freely give. Otherwise, we're just playing church. This move of God that is starting, that's we're in it, but it's in the beginning stages of it. Can I tell you, this is my hope. My hope is that this place, that you become surgeons that help people. You're so empathetic and compassionate towards broken people that anyone can walk through these doors and encounter the living God and get help. These altars are going to be filled with people. Well, not these ones. We're going to be next door, but altars will be filled with people getting right with Jesus because they feel the divine mercy of heaven touching their hearts and they know it's safe to let their guard down. The accusation the world has against the church is that we're so judgmental, and they're right. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave us the commission to disciple the nations into the ways of God. Our job is to process and teach the world how to pursue justice in the ways of heaven, not earthly and demonic ways. And if we don't know how to do that, then where are people going to learn it? Are you alive today? Merry Christmas. When the Lord ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father, he left us with a role. It's our job to destroy the works of the devil. He won the war. It's won. It's a victory. Our job to enforce it. Okay? The mercy of heaven is extended through us to touch people in brokenness and in deception and experiencing torment in their lives. And the mercy of heaven gets extended through people. When you encounter somebody, if you choose to judge, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. Do you like it when people judge you? It's not a good experience. It's terrible. If you choose to judge, you end up becoming the stumbling block. You're in the way of them receiving mercy. You don't realize it, but when you choose to judge, you're the one that becomes the enemy. I think there's been a tenacious hunger inside of people recently to achieve something, to get on top, to be in charge. After all, we know what's right and best. That comes from a heart that judges. That ain't God. When I look at the scriptures, I look at the prophets of old, when I look at Jesus, he didn't rail against the system. When I look at someone's life like Daniel, he didn't convict Nebuchadnezzar. He came alongside him to help him. And in the midst of him choosing righteousness, no matter the cost, he ended up winning the heart of Nebuchadnezzar to honor the Lord. And then the kingdom gets turned so that it worships God. Maybe the role of the church in this season is to serve and to love, to be merciful, to demonstrate the pursuit of heavenly justice, which is this. The justice of heaven is that Jesus gets everything he paid for. And he paid for people's sin. So if you hold judgment, you're standing in the way. Torment comes into a believer's life when you refuse to give mercy to somebody. Matthew 18 says this so absolutely clear, that when you choose to refuse to give mercy, that the Lord turns you over to tormentors until you give mercy. how can that be? Well, if you're experiencing torment, you tell me why a believer would have a demon. The only option here is that the choice that people are making is rooted in hell. The Lord Jesus gave us a ministry that is to reconcile this world to a Father who loves them so much, and he paid for it with his life. He paid the ultimate price to cut a covenant so that people would be redeemed. This is 2 Corinthians 5:18. This will be the verse that I land on here. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us this word or ministry of reconciliation. How do you reconcile the world to the Father? By not judging them, but instead offering them mercy. How do you reconcile yourself to a brother or sister who sinned against you? By forgiving them, by offering them mercy, not judging them. If you find yourselves tormented, this is where you should look. This is it. It's not some bloodline curse or some other weird things that Christians have come up with to defend themselves against their own judgments. It's judgment. That's why. It's the gate that brings torment into Christians' life. You must give mercy. There is no other option. I'm going to close today by leading us through a prayer, okay? This is the very prayer that I pray when I begin to experience, like, if I start feeling heavy, weighted down, like spiritually sluggish, like something's resisting me, something's going on, right? I go through this type of a prayer. It's not the words that are important, it's what it contains, okay? And I'm going to lead you through it, and it's a tool, and so I don't want you to try to take notes right now. I want you to be led through it. If you want the notes, we're going to put it on like the podcast. We'll make it available, okay? But this tool leads you through this process. And this is exactly what I do. See, when I begin to experience that, this has become a bell to me. It goes ding, ding, ding. Oh, someone is standing in judgment over me and I'm feeling the effects. Someone's speaking evil of me. So I release mercy and boom, I'm out. Or I have been holding on to judgment against somebody else and that's what's opened this door. So if I'm experiencing torment, if I'm experiencing some of this stuff, this is what I do. So I'm going to invite you right now to close your eyes. You know, I don't want you to be distracted by other people, okay? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you just to repeat the prayer. It's very simple. Again, nothing magical about the words. It's what we're doing. All right, so would you pray with me right now, okay? So I'll pray, and just repeat after me. And again, just get alone with the Lord right now. Let your heart actually connect with this, because I know that there's, you know, peace and joy on the other side of this thing. Father in heaven, come on, every voice. Father in heaven, I come before your throne of grace and I confess to you that I have been holding judgments against others and I'm asking for your forgiveness. You alone are the righteous judge. Forgive me for usurping your authority. I choose today to release mercy to those who have held me in judgment. I relinquish my claim of judgment towards others, and I repent. I choose to forgive and release mercy over those who have sinned against me. I give mercy to those who have held me in judgment. I release mercy to those who have spoken evil against me. I do not retain their sin. And I declare blessing in its place, that they may know your love and experience your mercy in fresh ways for themselves. Father, please fill me once again with your Holy Spirit and cleanse my vision. Remove the log out of my eye that I might see clearly and have compassion and mercy to walk along others. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke all forms of torment. And we invite the peace of God. Okay, now I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Let your holy wind blow across this room, Lord. Remove the smoke and the deception, Lord, of the enemy. Lord, remove. Blow away the ashes, Lord, of the sin that we've held against people. And Lord, blow it away. Remove it. Lord, I release mercy to us as a people. I pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would come, that you would bring great joy. I mean, the kind of joy that marks a season that you'll never forget. I pray for joy. I pray that this Christmas season it would be filled with light and love, and you'd have peace, actual peace. Your kids are going to feel it immediately, I'm telling you. If you've been carrying junk, your kids will feel it immediately. The peace of God will settle back on your home. Lord, we release your peace. Lord, I pray that you would restore rest to people, that they would sleep well, and that anxieties, that stuff would just go away, Lord, and that they would no longer have fear around the Rona. God, that, or its effects, and I just speak your blessing over them, that they walk in divine health, and their bodies will be strengthened, that none will be lost to this disease in Jesus' name. And Lord, I bless your people today. Fill them, Lord. Strengthen them. Listen, if you came in here today and you would say to me, Pastor Jamie, I'm hearing what you're saying and I want this, but I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior before, and I know that I need to. If that's you today, I just want you to invite you right now. It's a simple prayer. You just open your heart and go, Lord, I need you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Jesus, would you touch hearts today? Be with them. Emmanuel, God with us. Holy Spirit of God, touch every heart. Make them alive in this season. Now I bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord's countenance, the light of his face, his favor would be upon you, and that you would be held in perfect peace no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening around you, that your heart would be in perfect peace. We declare this today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, can you give a good clap to the Lord today?